Very good evening and welcome along to The Score, our midweek sports show here on Highland, where we take a look at the latest big sporting stories across the Northwest. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher. I hope I find you well wherever you are this evening. And as always, we have a lot to look forward to between now and 8 o'clock. So coming up on the show tonight, listeners to our weekend sports shows will have heard last Saturday that David Kelly produced a stunning drive to take victory in the Circuit of Ireland Rally based out of Dungannon. We'll hear from David tonight after that win, which was his first ever win in the Irish Tarmac Championship. In Gaelic Games, we'll be looking ahead to a big weekend for both the Donegal Senior Hurlers, who are in Christy Ring Cup action, and the Donegal Senior Ladies team, who contest the Division 2 League final against Cavan. We'll be talking all things GAA with Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News, and we'll also be taking a look back at last night's Ulster Under 20 Championship games. That is all coming up very shortly, but firstly, we're going to start with soccer on tonight's show. Finn Harps and Derry City are both back in action for their third game in 7 days tomorrow night. Finn Harps face Cove Ramblers in the SSC Airtricity League First Division, having come through a tricky bank holiday weekend unbeaten against the league's top two teams. Kevin McHugh's side followed up their scoreless draw at home to Cork City last Friday with a 2-2 draw against Bray in Wicklow on Monday. Harps were ahead twice in that game, but did have to settle for a share of the spoils. And next up is a home game against Cove Ramblers tomorrow night. Derry City, meanwhile, are winless in 6 Premier Division games after being beaten by Galway United last Friday. And then they were held to a nil-all draw in Sligo on Monday. The Candy Stripes sit in 7th spot with just 2 wins from their opening 10 games of the season. Tiernan Lynch's team are away to Dundalk tomorrow night, who sit 4th after a very impressive start to their campaign back in the top flight. So, to talk all things League of Ireland, I am now joined on the show by former Finn Harps skipper Joe Boyle. Joe, welcome back onto the programme. Hope you're keeping well.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
So let's get into it. We'll start with Finn Harps. Maybe some mixed emotions about the kind of week, kind of bank holiday weekend they had, Joe. The draw with Cork was, by all accounts, a very good point. And then on paper, you know, a point in Bray wouldn't have been a bad result either. Having led twice, maybe there'll be a wee bit of a tinge of disappointment coming up the road, will there?
Yeah, look, I think Kevin will be more than happy with both the performances. You know, to get a 0-0 against the runaway league leaders Cork City, and then to get a draw away to second in the table Bray Wanderers, Kevin will be really happy with, I think, the performances. Disappointed that he's only got 2 points. I think maybe they deserve a bit more. And it's funny, you know, if they'd have won a game and lost a game, they'd be a point better off. And, you know, sitting looking at the table the last night and footing on the phone and looking at what was coming through, at one stage Harps were going up into third position with the way the results were, but just disappointed with the amount of points that they got out of it. You know, to only get 2 points out of 6 will be disappointing. But I think that 0-0 for me against Cork City was a really, really big result. You know, they defended really well. They didn't have much going forward. I know Tony had a good chance, but, you know, they then matched that up with a really, really hard shift on Friday night to go down to Bray then and come away, and being disappointed with a 2-2 draw says a lot about the progress of the team this season.
And from a management point of view, you know, if you play the top two in 4 days and don't lose, it's very easy to put a positive spin on that at training this week. And Harps, you know, should be really, really confident coming into their clash with Cove tomorrow night.
Yeah, and again, when you look at it, from Bray in second down to Harps in 7th, there's only 4 points between them. And it's funny, if Harps had got that extra 2 points, you know, the league would be even tighter in there. You know, there'd only be 2 points between all of those teams. So for me, it's been a good first start to the league, or first session in the matches for Harps. And again, going into the match now against Cove, where they had a draw earlier in the season, and when you look at it, Cove have come off 2 good victories in the last couple of days as well, so they'll be full of beans and they'll be really, really positive on that. So from Harps' point of view, I think they'll go into Friday night with a real positive spin, and Kevin will have no problem getting the lads up for the game on Friday night again.
And you touched on it there, but Cove, they have had a bit of a mixed start. They sit 6th. You probably would have expected them to be a bit higher if you were looking at it at the beginning of the season, but as you say, they are coming off the back of back-to-back wins, so it might look like they've turned a bit of a corner, and might actually be a bad time to meet them because they're kind of on an upward curve.
Yeah, but they've come off a 4-0 away to UCD, and when you look at that, that would give you hope. Cove away to Athlone, they got beat 2-0 there as well. So from that point of view, I think the lads will really take a lot of positives from that. And when you look at it, they were away to Kerry, which isn't a long journey for Cove, and they were at home to Cove. But after the third game in that series now in a week, they're going to have to make that long journey to Balmaffei, and these are the matches now that Hearts really need to focus on and get 3 points. And when they're at home, they don't make journeys all the way down to Munster. Cove will make that journey. So it'll be really important for Hearts to get a real fast start and a positive start now on Friday night and try and do what UCD did and get a couple of early goals and get ahead of Cove if possible.
So, Joe, you would expect Harps to get some sort of a result tomorrow night, then, would you?
Yeah, look, I'd be really hoping. And, I would have taken the two results last week, but going into this week, I'd definitely be needing the 3 points and looking to get all 3 points this weekend. And that would allow you to leapfrog over Cove this weekend, which would be important to keep in touch and stay in that top part of the league as you approach this start of the next phase of matches.
That's it. We'll have live updates from that game with Jeremy Doherty from the 7:45 kickoff, as always. Elsewhere tomorrow night, leaders Cork are away to bottom side Treaty in a Munster derby. Wexford go to Athlone, and it is Kerry against UCD. Longford play Bray on Saturday. So, Joe, on to the top flight. Derry City now winless in six after another couple of fairly lacklustre performances at the weekend. Joe, what is going on at Derry City, and why does it seem like they just, can't really buy a win at the minute?
Yeah, look, it's really disappointing to see Derry down there. And, the result the last night when they played Sligo was certainly a result that didn't suit any of the two of them, but both of them badly needed to get something out of the game. And, for me, for Derry to have only 2 wins out of their first 10 games, there's alarm bell starting to ring there now. They've lost four, they've drawn four, and some of those matches that they've been in have been real helter-skelter. There's not been a pattern of play. I would be really, really concerned for them. And, they're going down to Dundalk this weekend, and for me, that's a banana skin. Dundalk have been going really, really well, and for me, they really need to start winning more matches, because 2 out of 10 is just simply not good enough for a club like Derry City, who I think in our preview night at the start of the year, we were all tipping Derry to be the league winners, and with the quality of players that they have, they need to start winning matches, and at the minute, it's not looking like they are. And going down there to Dundalk on Friday night, I'm not sure how much confidence you would be going down there after the number of poor performances that they've had in the last couple of weeks.
You're right, they need to start winning matches, but it definitely doesn't get any easier for Derry. Away to Dundalk tomorrow night, away to Shells next week, and then Shamrock Rovers at Celtic Park the week after. It goes without saying, but there's massive pressure on these next few games.
A huge amount of pressure. And you mentioned there about going into Celtic Park, where we've seen all the pictures of the Brandywell being dug up, and we can't wait for the grass pitch to come back into the Brandywell. From my point of view, it should always have stayed and should have been a grass pitch, but moving to Celtic Park is another distraction for them. They had that run of home matches at the start, which is unnatural. Usually you're away at home and you get your rhythm from that, so it's key for Derry over the next couple of weeks. When you look at it like that, Dundalk away to Shelburne, who are also struggling, but then to have Shamrock Rovers and Derry, then they're not easy matches, and they need to get something out of them, and it's crucial that they do get something out of these matches.
So it starts with Dundalk tomorrow night. They've made a great start to life back in the Premier Division. They've just beaten Shelburne and St Pat's, and they're actually unbeaten in their last six. It's fair to say maybe Dundalk will be actually favourites going into this game against Derry tomorrow night.
Yeah, and when you look at Dundalk and the run that they've been on, they've beaten St Pat's, they've beaten Shelburne, and they've got a draw with Bohemians, and I think the people who are happier at the end of that match was probably Bohemians rather than Dundalk. So, there's a lot of things going well for Dundalk, and not many people would have tipped them to be going as well as they are. And they're sitting up there in fourth in the league, and they're there on merit.
Just lastly on Derry, Joe, after the Sligo game, what did you make of James McLean's comments about the surfaces in the League of Ireland? For those that haven't heard it, basically just saying that the surfaces of the pitches are really not good enough, and it's holding the league back to some degree. What do you make of those comments?
Well, he's possibly right in some instances, but there is a number of artificial pitches, like you've got Dundalk where they've got the artificial, but the grass pitches. But you must also take into account the weather that we've had and the amount of volume of rain that we've had over the last number of weeks. It is a difference to starting your season where you've got that growth at the start of the season. We're coming out of winter where it is. In the next couple of weeks, I don't think James will be moaning like that, because when you look at the pitches that he's talking about, they will improve when the weather improves and when a bit of growth comes. So look at, I think that's one of the trade-offs that you have with playing summer football against winter football. But you could imagine the state of those pitches if you'd been playing on them every single week through from October, November, right through to now, what state them pitches would be in with the amount of rain and volume that we have here. Yes, we would love to see the pitches being better, but at the end of the day, I don't think that's the reason why Derry City are losing matches. I think there's something else behind the losses that they have. And for James, look at, he does speak from the heart, and from that point of view, he's been a big positive in coming into the league. But a comment like that, for me, it sounds like he's trying to find some reason to explain why they didn't get 3 points down in Sligo on Friday night, rather than concentrate on their overall performance.
Yeah, possibly mistimed comments rather than anything else. Finally, Joe, another standout game tomorrow night is the Dublin Derby meeting champions Shamrock Rovers up against current league leaders on goal difference anyway, St Pat's. What way do you see that one going?
Oh, I think that's going to be a ding-dong battle
Should
there.
be,
And
yeah.
when you look at the top of the league, you've got Pat's Bowes and Shamrock Rovers, and they're all nip and tuck there. And they've all strengthened their squads. And for me, I've just loved the couple of nights I've got to see St Pat's, that they've been firing on all cylinders. And Stephen Kenny had a difficult season last year. He seems to have got the team settled this year, and he seems to have got the balance of his team right. And maybe that's what Tiernan Lynch is looking for as well, where he needs to have that. But for me, I think this could be one that St Pat's could come through there, because Shamrock Rovers have been okay for a start of the season, and that's where they've been in the last couple of seasons. But for me, I'd be tipping St Pat's this weekend, and I think Stephen Kenny will not be looking to get two defeats in a row. He'd be looking to reverse that disappointing result that they had on Monday night.
That's it. Looking forward to that game. Should be a good one. Elsewhere tomorrow night, it is Bohemians at home to Sligo Rovers and Galway United host Shelburne. Joe, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy the weekend's League of Ireland action, and we'll be talking again very soon. All right?
Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
That is former Finharps captain Joe Boyle. Let's have a look at what's happening up north this weekend in the NIFL Championship on Saturday. Institute host Ballinamallard in the relegation group, while top of the table Limavady, who are closing in on that league title, are away to Newington. Now, local soccer. Donegal Junior League games don't get much bigger than the clash between local rivals Letterkenny Rovers and Bonagie United this coming Sunday at Lakeview. Rovers come into the game top of the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division, 2 points ahead of the Dry Arch outfit, and also have a game in hand, but Bonagie will be looking to put themselves right back in contention for league honours this weekend. In other top flight games on Sunday, Kildrum Tigers host Glenaie United, Kilmacrenan and Celtic play KG Rovers, and it is the South Donegal Derby between St Catharines and Donegal Town. The title race in the Temple Domestic Appliance Division 1 has come down to this Sunday. Kerry Keel 71 and Capri Rovers both come into their games this weekend locked on 38 points apiece. But crucially, Kerry Keel do have the upper hand when it comes to goal difference, so a win over bottom side Swilly Rovers would see Huey Walsh's team lift the title. Capri face a trickier task as they are away to Convoy Arsenal. It's also interesting in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2, Raphoe Town are champions, we know that, but who finishes in second spot is still very much up for grabs. Raphoe play third place Letterbarrow Celtic this Sunday. Second place Cranford are at home to Lifford Celtic, and Dromahol, who are currently fourth, they are away to Curra Athletic. Cranford, Letterbarrow and Dromahol all still very much in the mix for promotion to Division 1. There are also games across all three Saturday divisions of the Donegal League. Up in Inishowen, Cairn meet Illy Celtic in the Clubman Shirts semi-final, and in the Father O'Gara Cup final, Greencastle face Cockhill Youths. And there's one game in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division this coming Sunday, the big derby, Buncrana Hearts against champions Cockhill Celtic. There are also games in both Divisions 1 and 2 up in Inishowen. Finally for now, in soccer, there's another standout game this coming Saturday, and it's a massive occasion for Glenealy Colts under 16 girls team. Stephen McCauley's side face Granada in the under 16 SFAI Cup semi-final at Glenview Park in Glenealy. Glenealy. That game gets underway at 2 o'clock, so the very best of luck to the Glenealy Colts under 16 girls. A great achievement to make it that far, so let's hope they can go one step further and make it to the final. Now let's go back to one of the main stories of last weekend, and it came in the world of rallying. David Kelly clinched his first ever Irish Tarmac Championship win at the Circuit of Ireland Rally last Saturday afternoon. It was a dramatic conclusion as the Donegal native held off the challenge of championship leader Josh Moffat by just half a second to claim victory in his Skoda Fabia Rally 2. Three in a row Donegal International Rally winner Callum Devine was in pole position until stage 9, but then he slid off the road and lost over 6 minutes, which effectively ended his tilt at glory in Dungannon. Having entered the final stage with a 4.9 second advantage over the Yaris of Moffat, Kelly held on to take a statement win. Well, David spoke to Oisin Kelly this week and said he was over the moon to get the win.
It hasn't been that long since you were on previously talking about your first ever win at national level, first overall win in any rally, David, that was in Mayo. And here we are now, just days after you taking victory in the Circuit of Ireland, winning by, 0.5 of a second from Josh Moffat. You've had a couple of days now to digest that victory, first ever Tarmac Championship win. It's a nice one to get, David. It's a nice one to kick it off and to get your first Tarmac win in.
No, definitely. Look, we're over the moon, and probably it did take a few days for it to sink in. And just really over the moon. It wasn't an easy event, and I suppose we just got off to a good start, and we had good momentum, and we were fit to carry through to the end. And look, it was just over the moon, to be honest. And hopefully, we can keep the momentum going now the rest of the year.
Yeah, these wet conditions seem to suit you, because if I cast my mind back to the start of March, it was a similar situation in Mayo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was actually a similar situation, and I suppose it's just. It's just maybe conditions that we're comfortable enough in. We don't mind the car moving around a bit, you know, and I suppose it's just, but it's a very fine balance between overcooking it in them conditions. You can get an overshoot or you can get a spin very easily. Like, and sometimes you're wondering, are we going to get stopped at all? You're coming down maybe a big straight at high speed, but no, look, it was good and the conditions did suit us at the weekend and very comfortable in the car in them conditions. So no, that's positive.
Yeah, you moved obviously from the Polo to the Fabia this year, and there seems to be something with you and the Fabies. You say you're more comfortable in it, but it's a car that seems to suit your style.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, it's probably not very dissimilar to the Polo in certain ways, which we had a good enough rhythm in the Polo as well. Just has a more powerful engine and suppose just a lot more developed. But no, definitely, look, it's working for us. And look, we're not just fully there with it yet either, to be honest. I think there's definitely more potential in the car. So we're just going to keep on tweaking it as we go here and get more and more comfortable with it.
Yeah. One thing about rallying is you have to manage the situations, and you managed the rally very, very well. But it was the way that you managed the closing stages was exceptional, David. When the pressure came on from Josh Moffat, what was it, just under 5 seconds was the advantage that you had going into the last. So you knew what was coming. But the way you managed that situation, David, was very, very impressive to hold on there at the end. And it's another big learning curve for you.
No, definitely. Martin, it was probably something that we did think about throughout the day on Saturday was, you know, we got ourselves into that situation where we were leading the rally. And look, it was we did have a good run up until that point, and then it was we need to hold on to this now. But I suppose it wasn't very easy to keep it, and as you said yourself, we were very small margins to Josh Moffat, and everybody knows what Josh Moffat's capabilities is. He's, you know, one of the best drivers in the country, like, and he's a lot of experience, and he's been in them situations a good few more times than I have been, and that was in the back of my head too, and I knew he could turn it on when he had to. But look, we just managed as best we could, and I kind of said to Shane, I said, look, if we don't get to the end here, we're definitely not going to win. So we needed, it was a balancing act between not going too slow and not trying too hard, you know. So it worked out for us in the end.
Yeah, it's been a long time since a Donegal driver won the Circuit of Ireland.
I think I wasn't fully up to the history until Saturday, to be honest, but I don't think there's ever been a Donegal winner. I think we're the first, right. First Donegal crew to win it. So look over the moon, really, like, and it was just it's a big achievement and took a bit of time for it to set in, but we're definitely one we won't forget anytime soon.
Yeah. Mayo was obviously big for you, but this is bigger. Like, this is the Circuit of Ireland. So it is. There's some big names that are on that trophy on the winners list from previous years, David.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I suppose to add our name to that list is special. And Mayo was great to get the first win. And to be honest, I do think that probably getting the win in Mayo probably helped me a wee bit on Saturday to not have that pressure of we're leading the Circuit of Ireland and we have to win the rally. And it's our first rally win. You know, it was probably had that monkey off her back of having the first win, which is probably a bit of a help, you know. But yeah. No, definitely special to get it, and like, it's great for the team. You know, I have a great team behind me, and without them, it wouldn't be possible, Austin, you know. And it's as much good for them as it is for me, to be honest.
Yeah, and obviously Shane back, and this is your first one with Shane. You won Mayo with Paddy McCrudden, so you did, but Shane was back in the Navigator's seat, so it's huge for the confidence between you guys in the car.
Yeah, no, definitely. And look, Shane done a top job all weekend. He, you know, he always puts his best foot forward, and you know, there was no stone left unturned from when we started the recce till we got to the over that finish line on Saturday afternoon. So now, look, fair play to Shane. And look, as you said, it's great for us to have that win under our belt now together so we can move on from that.
Yeah. So are you thinking about championship now? Because you're third in the standings, 8 points off Josh Moffat. You're just one off second place Callum Devine. There's three events done of the rounds in the Irish Tarmac Series. Is there something you're thinking about, David?
Oh, definitely. Look, we were kind of close enough to a podium position on the championship over the last 2 years, and maybe just didn't miss a few events and didn't finish it out. But now this year, definitely, we've probably made a stronger start than other years. We're competing also in the national championship, so we're probably going to put our eyes onto the Tarmac Championship now and pick the national rounds that suit for a shakedown for the Tarmac Championship rally. So we have Monaghan this weekend, which we'll just use as a bit of a test for Killarney in 3 weeks' time, and hopefully we can get more speed built up, and hopefully maybe get some dry conditions to get another bit of testing in the dry in the car.
Yeah. What are you expecting of Monaghan this weekend? That's always a good event, so it is, David. It's always challenging, but there's something about the roads in Monaghan that make it a lot more exciting.
Yeah, no, look, Monaghan will be a great event, and you couldn't underestimate the speed of the guys down there, I'm sure. Josh Moffat's going to have a target on my back from his unfinished business on Saturday, like, so I don't think I'm going to drop my head if I come off the first or second stage, and Josh and potentially even Sam will be very fast down there, and there's loads of fast guys. Like, our aim this weekend is to go get a clean run and get some good valuable seat time in the car, and as I said, we're kind of hoping for it to be dry to get more seat time in the dry for Killarney. So we're going to use it this weekend as a good shakedown for Killarney.
Yeah. And then after Killarney in the Tarmac Series, obviously comes Donegal. Regulations were actually out this week, and we've seen that there's going to be a change to the format slightly. They're not going to any show on the Friday. By all accounts, it seems to be they're heading in the direction of Gedore, because the stages have been named, and then there's a couple of the usual big hitting stages that are in there as well. But obviously, the way the year's going for you, you have to be thinking about Donegal, David.
Oh, definitely. I suppose being Donegal, man, at all our rally, nearly, you know, it all circles around getting ready for Donegal, and there's always a big push up to Donegal. So look, we just have to keep the momentum going and do our best, and look, definitely we'll be trying to make a good stab at Donegal this year.
Okay, you got podiums the last 2 years. I'm going to put you on the spot now. So David, podiums for the last 2 years, finishing in third position, but now you've got wins under your belt. Is a win in Donegal achievable for you?
So with Donegal being such a long event and such a marathon event, and look, we have seen in the past, over the last 2 years, we've been thereabouts, and you know, we have had the speed to put in the stage time. So look, we'll definitely be going at it from the word go, and I don't think that anything's unachievable, to be honest, at this stage.
Okay, well, there's lots of rallying to take place between now and Donegal. The best of luck to you and Shane in Monaghan this weekend, and once again, many congratulations on your first Tarmac success. Well done, David.
Thanks, Oisin.
That is David Kelly speaking with Oisin Kelly. And as they alluded to there, next stop is the Monaghan Stages Rally this weekend in the National Rally Championship. Josh Moffat tops the entry list with Kelly at number 2 and fellow Donegal driver Michael Boyle at 3. Other Donegal interest in a field that actually contains 9 Donegal drivers in the top 20 entries includes Eamon Kelly, Declan Boyle, Kevin Eaves, Matthew Boyle and Ryan McHugh. Elsewhere in motorsport this weekend sees the WRC go to Croatia. Brooklist native Shane Byrne will be on the notes for John Armstrong in that rally, so you can, as always, tune into Highland over the weekend for all the latest regarding Rally Croatia. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ryan Ferry to talk GAA. Stay tuned. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now it's time to look ahead to what's happening in the world of Gaelic games, and I'm joined on the line by Ryan Ferry, sports editor at the Donegal News. Ryan, it's a busy weekend ahead. I'm sure you're busy getting ready for it all, so thanks very much for taking the time to pop onto us this evening.
Yeah, no problem at all, Mark. Yeah, plenty going on this weekend, as always, and it's really gearing up with everything going on at the minute.
That's it. There's a lot to talk about. You've got the Ulster Under 20 picture, the Ulster Senior Championship, which has crept around very quickly. That's getting underway this weekend when Armagh meet Tyrone. The Donegal Hurlers are in Christy Ring Cup action, and of course, the Donegal Ladies, who play Cavan in that Division 2 League final in Clonus. And maybe that's where we'll begin, Ryan. It's first and foremost a great opportunity for James Daly's side to pick up a bit of silverware.
Ah, yeah, it definitely is, Mark. You know, it's you know, they've had a good league campaign, and you know, they look to finish that off, I suppose, in style before they get ready for the Ulster Championship and the All Ireland series after that. So, yeah, I'm sure it's probably been objective met, and that the team have secured promotion. But you know, you like to round off with the silverware, and I think for this group, it's a fairly young team now. It's you know, it's been a bit of a transition period over the last 18 months, and you know, I think for that group, it would be significant if they could get a trophy to their name, and they'll probably have to beat a very good Cavan team to do it. So you know, there'll be the double boost from that. So it won't be easy, but I'm sure in Clonus they'll be gunning for glory.
Cavan do probably come into that game as slight favourites, maybe, is that they finished top of the league and they beat Donegal in the league phase, but it's not like they blew Donegal away in that game. I think it finished 1-6-7 or something like that. Donegal will definitely have learned a few things from it, and they'll come into the game full of confidence that they can get that league title in the bag.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. All right, it's Cavan are very much a common force. It's at schools and at underage level, they've been doing really, really well. So this success for Cavan isn't a huge surprise. They won the Division 3 title last year, and they've got promotion Division 2, so a huge amount of momentum going with them. But as you said, it was tight enough when the sides met and Father Tierney Park, and Donegal came out the wrong side of it. Now Donegal then defeated Mayo in a tight game, but then lost again in Clonmel against Tipperary. And I watched that game, and you know, it was, they really didn't offer enough in attack that day. And I suppose if you look back at the 1-6-7 point game, probably both teams wouldn't been overly impressed with how they attacked either. So you'd be hoping, and I know there's talk about bad weather for the weekend as well, which wouldn't be ideal for in terms of making it a spectacle, but you'd be hoping that it would be a decent game. Donegal's some good forwards, Mark, so like, if they can get the ball to them, I think they'll have enough to trouble Cavan, but it's you know, it will be a tough assignment, no doubt about it.
It definitely will. Just finally on the ladies, I suppose there's maybe a wee bit of pressure off this weekend. They've already achieved promotion, and for James Daly and the development of his squad, it's going to be brilliant to be back in Division 1 next season for them.
It is going to be brilliant to be back in there. And the ladies scene is changing all the time. Like Dublin were relegated to Division 2. You know, so things are changing, and obviously you've got the whole Aussie rules thing, and you know, the drain of talent to Australia, which is having a huge impact. It's had an impact on Donegal as well, with the likes of Niamh McLaughlin and Amy Boyle Carr. What a difference they would make if they were available. But pretty much every county is in this situation where they don't have their best players, and you suppose you've just got to put your best foot forward with who is committed. And it will be good for Donegal to be back in the top flight, and you know, I expect them to be more competitive in the championship this year. And you know, as I said, a good victory this weekend over a common Cavan team, and I think that'll leave them in a good place ahead of the summer ball.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We will have full live match coverage of the Donegal Ladies League final against Cavan from the 3 o'clock throw-in. That's at St Tiernan's Park in Clonus on Saturday. Jeremy Doherty and Maureen O'Donnell will be there for Highland Radio Sport. So it's Christy Ring Cup time for the Hurlers. It's Wicklow once again, and it seems, Ryan, like no time since Wicklow snatched that league title in Aughrim a couple of weeks ago. Donegal very unlucky not to win that game. Wicklow getting a goal just right at the death.
Yeah, it feels, Mark, that you're only ever a couple of weeks away from a Donegal v Wicklow intercounty hurling match. They seem to meet so often down through the years. And as you mentioned, like Donegal were going well that day in Aughrim, and they just couldn't hold on, and they were stung at the death by a smash and grab. So, you know, that would have been hugely frustrating you know. But listen, like, it's a good chance to bounce back, and you know, the hope is that Jared Gilmore's going to be available this week, and if Donegal have him, well, that's going to be a considerable boost to them, because the Tanta man is probably one of the best hurlers in the team and in the Christy Ring in general. So he would make a big difference if he was available. And yeah, like, it's funny when, you know, you're such familiarity with the team, and, you know, like, how will a game be different a couple of weeks apart? You know, that's what will be interesting with it all. But, you know, Donegal have home advantage in O'Donnell Park. They enjoy playing at O'Donnell Park. Now, Wicklow have won there as well, so they won't fear it. But I think Donegal really have to make the most of that home advantage, because it looks like it's going to be a tough Christy Ring ahead. You've got the Kerry are going to be probably strong favourites. And, you know, but Donegal will want to get off to a good start and see where they can build from that.
On the football, massive game at the Boxwood Athletics Grounds on Saturday. As we said earlier, two of the big hitters in the province meeting in the preliminary round of the Ulster Senior Championship. It seems to have rolled around very quickly, but now that it's here, that is really such a big game to look forward to the weekend.
Yeah, it's a humdinger, I suppose. It's, you know, two of the strongest teams in the country, you would imagine. Now, Tyrone have dipped below that, but... you know, you would still expect them that come the white-heated championship that they'll up the ante and bring it to Armagh. It's a great game to start the Ulster Championship, no doubt about it. You know, one of the big contenders is going to fall in the Athletic Grounds. Looks like it's heading for a sellout. So it's got all the makings of a cracker. You know, there's quality players on both sides of the team. Both sides, you're looking at Dara Canavan and Owen Michael-Holm and Michael McKernan for Tyrone, and, you know, you're going to have Oisin O'Neill and Oisin Connaty and Kia McConville and these boys for Armagh. So a lot of quality. You know, and we'll obviously be keeping a close eye of it in Donegal as well, Mark, because, you know, this is on the same side of the draw as Donegal. I'm sure Jim McGuinness and his team, as they've returned from Portugal, they'll all be focused on Down. But of course, the winners, if Donegal come through that game, they'll play either Armagh, Tyrone or Fermanagh. So there'll be a few Donegal eyes keeping an eye on it, as will be from throughout the country. It's the big game of the opening weekend, no doubt about it.
With Armagh playing their trade at the higher level during the league, and with home advantage, is it a game that they should win, really, or does league stuff kind of go out the window when it comes to the white heat of Armagh against Tyrone in the championship? Can we take anything from the start of the season for both teams, and when they cross the white line, it's just a traditional Armagh against Tyrone, or do you think Armagh should and will have the advantage?
Yeah, I think probably the thing you can take from it is Tyrone have been poor, and you know, haven't produced the performances that they've needed to produce. And like that, at times down through the years, is when Tyrone have been at their best, when they have that cause, when people are writing them off and they're backed into a corner. And, you know, I expect Tyrone to come out swinging at the weekend. I think they'll bring the fight to them. There are a lot of good players. Yes, the league was poor, but they probably knew towards the end of it that they weren't going to have a big say in it. So, you know, maybe they tapered off. I suppose the big question will be, Will Niall Morgan be back in nets? Because he was in the nets for the last couple of games, and, you know, he's one of the top goalkeepers in the country, and it's going to make a big, big difference if Niall Morgan is in nets for Tyrone, no doubt about it.
And if you were to call it, what way do you think it'll go, Ryan?
I think that Armagh might just sneak it by a point or two.
Good stuff. Finally, Ryan, let's take a wee look at the Ulster under-20 picture. So Armagh beat Tyrone last night. They'll have a home semi-final, as will Donegal, as we know that. The quarter-finals will see Derry host Tyrone, and Cavan are at home to Monaghan. So maybe we'll go with them two quarter-finals, Derry against Tyrone and Cavan at home to Monaghan. If you were to call two winners out of those games to make up the rest of the top four, including Armagh and Donegal, who would you maybe fancy to come out on top in those two quarter-finals?
Yeah, really, really interesting game. Like, Derry and Monaghan were both in the All-Ireland Minor Final 3 years ago. Now it's hard to get players from under 17 to under 20, but, you know, they obviously have got a talent in their team. Like, I know Tyrone didn't have Rory McCullough last night, so that would make a fair difference to their team if they had him. I think you'd have to expect just that Derry have been motoring a wee bit better than Tyrone, so I think they're going to win that. Cavan have been reasonably impressive, but were hammered by Armagh, which didn't make a huge amount of sense. So Cavan against Monaghan, I suppose I might just go favour Monaghan on that one. I just think with the likes of Max McGinnity and Matthew Finn, like these are some good young players that are coming through, a couple of good Scotstown boys as well. So I think perhaps maybe Derry and Monaghan will join Donegal and Armagh in the last four.
And finally, just we'll touch on from a Donegal point of view, they've improved really as the competition has gone on, and they'll definitely now fancy their chances of making an Ulster final with home advantage in the last four, no matter who they play around.
Yeah, I think they were, like, I was down the first night and they played Fermanagh and they were very, very fortunate to get the win that day. And when you look at what has happened for Fermanagh since that, you know, they've been well beaten by Derry and Monaghan. So It was just one of those days. Maybe just Donegal were just a little bit off it. But they have picked it up. That was a great win against Derry in Celtic Park. Probably didn't have they overly well in the day, that I think they can get more, particularly from some of their senior men, but they got the result, and you know it keeps them out of this quarter final round next week, which, you know, is a dangerous place to be. Like, there's, you know, there could be scalps in that. So I think Donegal are in a good place. They'll have a home semi-final. That's what they would have wanted, to try and get back into the Ulster final. They were there last year, very unlucky not to win it against Tyrone, but this is a very competitive championship. There's no doubt about it. Like, Armagh are coming strong. Derry, Monaghan, Tyrone, they all fancy themselves as having good teams. You know, Cavan defeated Donegal at minor level last year, so you know they've got plenty going on as well. But there's no doubt about it. Donegal have their strongest team out. There's a lot of good players. They've six in the senior panel, so it's making the most of that, and it'll be an interesting couple of weeks. But I definitely think Donegal can have a say in where this championship's going.
There you go. That is Ryan Ferry speaking all things Gaelic games ahead of a very busy weekend here in the Northwest. So Tyrone were beaten in the Ulster Under 20 Championship, as we said, by Armagh last night, which means they will now face a tricky tie away to Derry at the quarterfinal stage. After that game last night, All-Ireland Under 20 winning manager for Tyrone, Paul Devlin, spoke to Francis Mooney, and he was left ruined some missed goal chances in that 124-215 defeat in Armagh.
That first 10 minutes there, second half, that was stashed away from us. You were being the half done ball, so they were pushing on you, so were. And I think they nearly hit 91 minutes. I think hit the top over the bar, you know, what I sort of say. And a bit of work to do for next week, so we're having this. That's just the way we look at it, aye.
We bit flat right through, but, you know, there were some bright spells in that game, but it was coming in wee bursts, it wasn't coming with any fluency to it. So there's a flatness there that needs to be addressed, I suppose.
You know, when you walk around the game, the next thing they get the penalty, we're gradually creeping into it, you know, and then things, wee bits of setbacks, you know. And thought maybe was maybe one going to be through our way down here in the second half, you know, just a wee bit tip, young McGorn went to shoot and whatever happened. But again, that had an opportunity then, or even a goal chance then, you're back to a point, you know, and all of a sudden you're up and going. But you have to give them credit. Every time we hit them on a score, they responded well, so they did, and give them full credit in that day now.
Having said all that, Tyrone created four goal chances apart from the two that they scored.
Well, the thing is, Ramsey, at this level, when you create them, you have to take them. That's the long and short of it. You have a game here on Sunday, and the team that creates the goal chances here on Sunday will take the game. End of story. And I think Armagh didn't create a pile of goal chances against us the night there, but the kicking and the scores was very good. And we had to take them chances. When you go down into those leg grounds here, and that ball popped across the square, you must take account. But one took the line there at the end there too, and pulled the scores in. So we're always grasping the thing back into the games we were, and then Armagh always able to do enough to keep us at arm's length with it, aye.
Rory McCullough, big miss. Was that back injury back again?
Aye,
was it?
Just now he's just getting treatment and stuff, so we just felt ourselves, you know what I mean, land a long career in front of him. Have to be mindful of Rory McCullough and not be greedy for ourselves tonight, you know.
You have to go now to Celtic Park for a quarter final against Derry, I think. So yeah, that's not going to be an easy one.
No, here we went there before and we're more capable of going up there again. So we'll learn a lot tonight here. We'll look at the whole thing and see where we're at going forward, and I say, still a lot to play for.
Tyrone under 20 manager Paul Devlin. Now, as I discussed with Ryan a wee bit earlier, it is a big occasion for the Donegal ladies on Saturday with that Division 2 league final against Cavan in Clonus. We've heard Ryan Ferry's thoughts on it, so now let's head inside the Donegal camp to hear how the preparations have been going. Donegal captain Roisin Rogers has been speaking to the media at a press event in the lead up to the league final.
Donegal Division 1 ladies football has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it's nice to get back up into Division 1. I think the last couple of years has been tough on us trying to, I suppose, build on what we've been building over the last couple of years. So it's nice to, you know, get the promotion and then maybe hopefully get a cup at the end of it. So it'll be nice.
Yeah, it's an unusual one in the league finals in that you know you already have that promotion. So there's not as much pressure going into a final as with other finals, is there? You can kind of just let the shackles off and play.
Yeah, I think it's a bit different. I think, you know, we played Wexford and we knew we had to get that win to get the promotion, so we were delighted that we got the promotion as well. And I suppose, like you said, it's, you know, you're going up as well. I think it would just be extra nice to get a you know, a trophy at the end of it, like. So, and sure, we've played Cavan as well in the league and it was a tough enough contest, like. So I think it'll, you know, lead into a challenging enough final, so looking forward to it.
Chat to me a bit about that Wexford game. I know it was not ideal conditions for football.
Yeah, it was definitely an experience. It was the wind was, it was like a gale force wind. I think we were kind of deciding then, like, do we want to go against it in the first half or, like, you know, go with it? But I think we just decided in the first half to just go against it and try and battle it out and get it done and then kind of take it in the second half. But, like, even when you had the wind, I think it was a detriment as well. Like, you couldn't really kick it because it was flying like 20 metres and you were only tapping it. So I think a lot of the ball had to be played through the hands, and we were delighted to get over the line then with it. But it was definitely a battle to have, I'd say.
That's an unusual one as well. Would you always go against the wind? Do you think is it a mindset thing?
Do you know what? I don't even know. I think it depends. It just depends on the day too. I think, you know, like, I think there's sometimes like days like that you're like, you know what, let's just do it now and get it done with, kind of thing. And then I think there's other times where it's like, geez, is the wind going to die down or anything like that? But I suppose at the end of the day, I don't really make the final decision. It depends on what way anyone else wants to do it, and I just kind of get told how to do it. But, like, again, I think that day I was kind of more happy to play against the wind just to have it done and not have to worry about it going into the second half then. But no, I was chuffed that we went against it in the first half, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, it paid off. You held them to 1 point when they had the wind.
Yeah,
so it puts the pressure on them then, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think, like, as well, you're kind of conscious as well. Well, from a defender's point of view, it's like when they have that wind, like, you kind of have to push out a little bit more in case, because the two-pointers with the rules too. So I was really conscious. I was like, God, they're going to had a lot of two-pointers here. And I think we were just trying to really, you know, push out and try and get them. So it was good. Like, we enjoyed it. But, you know, getting the win at the end of it really helped.
Yeah. And facing Cavan now, as you said, you've already faced him this year. I mean, Ulster rivalry doesn't really get any better than that for a final, sure, doesn't?
Yeah, it's great. You know, I think we were actually just talking there, like, it's so nice to have kind of like two Ulster teams in it as well, and then for it to be played in Clonus too. It's like, it's where a lot of Ulster final games would be held, and it's got nearly a bit of familiarity about it. So it's nice to kind of have the cups coming home to one Ulster team anyway, at least. So it'd be great. And we played them in the league as well, and I think they got that early goal at the start of it, you know, and I suppose we were kind of, you know, chasing our tails a little bit because of that too then. And I suppose at the end of it, there was a kick of the ball on it, so Cavan's undefeated for a reason in the league, so it's been great. I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be a big challenge for us, and, you know, hopefully be able to get the cup at the end of it then.
And we've spoken a lot so far this year about the new rules, you know, trial period at the end of the league as a defender, and, you know, like, as a captain of a senior team, how do you think it went? What changes kind of would you make? Or
I think it's been like, it's really added to the game. I think you can definitely see from, like, the men's game last year, they had it in last year, and it added such a freshness to it nearly. Everything was, you know, faster, and that those kind of middle eight players, they really had to build up in their physicality and their athleticism nearly, because they're flying up and down the field. And same kind of happened with us too, like, every team had to nearly adapt to it, and it wasn't just a case of putting, you know, 15 people behind the ball and, like, building this big, you know, low block and, you know, trying to transition up with those 15 people then. Like, it's a big case of, like, it's a running game, you know, like, you're going up, you're transitioning, you're coming back, you're trying to, you know, set up or play your one-to-ones and things like that. So I think it really has added to it, and I think everybody was craving nearly that little bit more physicality, and it's not giving away as many frees, and if the frees are going, it's the solo and goals being added in, so it still adds a good flow to the game. And obviously, if, like, say there's times where you get a free and you might want not solo and goal, you can take your free then if you want to. So I think it's given you a lot of freedom in how you want to run the game, so it's been great. Like, I've really enjoyed it anyway so far.
It suits you as well, the day job, personal trainer, and, yeah, you're studying as well in that area.
Yeah,
you're crying out for that kind of physicality, are you?
Yeah. It's great, like, you know, like, it's handy as well, like, and the gym work this year has been so, so important for, I think, everybody, you know, like, because there is that physicality side of it where you have to, you know, push in and you know, be able to take hits and I suppose be able to give them back as well at the same time. And we were saying as well with, like, the forward side of it too, like, it's great for them where they don't have to, you know, they're not going into things and getting a free when you're straight through on goal, say, or something like that. It's good for the defenders too, where you are able to kind of put that wee bit of heat on them, and, like, they're not going to, you know, take the free and take a handy free too. They're kind of wanting to push on to and get something out of it. So it's great to be able to have that, you know, physical side of it. And yeah, the gym works really important as well, yeah, too. Yeah.
Have your services been called in a lot now?
Yeah, yeah, getting in there, getting done as well. So it's great. Like, here, I enjoy it. It's a bit of crack too, so it's fun.
And just to touch on last year, you saved your senior status. You lost the you won the relegation final.
Yep.
How important was it from a pride point of view for Donegal to stay senior football?
It was massive. Like, the last couple of years we've lost a lot of players, and you know, that's not new news to everybody. Everybody knows that we've lost so many different players, and we were definitely in this transition period of trying to build and new players coming in and trying to develop them as well as ourselves, and trying to progress through that. And I think last year when we were in that relegation, we've played Armagh in the first relegation round, we had lost them, and I think that really hit us really hard, and we were really upset about it because we didn't want to get relegated down. And we had one more chance to do that when we were playing Leitrim then in the last round of the relegation, and to come out of that and be able to stay in senior. I think a lot of people were kind of wanting us to maybe say to us, oh, would just not be better going down maybe, and, like, you know, developing them and intermediate. But I think for our point of view, we really wanted to stay in senior and keep progressing and keep playing the best football that we can play. And, you know, we did that then, and it really meant a lot to us to be able to stay up in senior. So it's a big push now and keep developing what we can in the senior championship this year.
Yeah, I was speaking to Emma Cleary from Cork earlier. Cork and Galway, obviously, they were in your positions last year,
yeah.
Division 2 finalists, now they're in the Division 1 final, and they were even saying that, like, their preparation now for the championship, before championship season begun, they feel better prepared because they've been playing Division 1. Is that something you're already looking forward to, maybe next year, having that under your belt?
Yeah, like, going into Division 1, it's a big, big challenge. And I think that's with anything. If you're in senior, if you're going from intermediate to senior, Division 2 to Division 1 or 3 to 2, it's always going to be a step up in the physicality and in the skill level and what you have to do and progress it. So I'm looking forward to, you know, having those challenges ahead. Like, it's only going to make us better, and we're only going to take learnings from it, and that's really important from our point of view. When we started this season, it was a lot of wanting to just keep progressing and keep building on what we have been doing over the last couple of years. And if that looks like, you know, winning games or taking losses and learning from those losses, then that's what we have to do to keep building it. It's not going to happen overnight, you know, as much as everybody would wish it did. It was just like, right, we're back on it again. But unfortunately, those things don't happen. It takes time and it takes patience, and I think that's what we've been doing and developing that throughout this campaign. I think if you said to us back in December that we would be in Division 1 next year and we'd be in a, you know, Division 2 final, you know, we would 100% take it. So we're happy to be where we're at the minute.
And you mentioned Clonus for the game, obviously, you know, synonymous with Ulster Championship. Mm-hmm. There's probably a bit of a revenge game due up this year, is there, after that result to Armagh last year in the Ulster Championship?
Yeah, you know, Ulster is definitely, it's different this year because Tyrone's up as well. Like, so it's actually really nice having the three games rather than, or three different teams, sorry, in it, and it, rather than just being a straight final.
Yeah.
I think the last couple of years it was just like a straight final, and it's been hard when, you know, it's a straight final. It's like, this is it. It's kind of like be all and end all. There's no margin for error kind of thing. And
yeah,
last year, you know, Armagh are a quality side, and they've really been building a lot the last couple of years as well. Like, and you know, we had kind of came into the game and we were a really young side with not a lot of experience in that side of it, whereas Armagh had so much experience and they were able to do so much with it. And I suppose playing back in Clonus then, like, you associate Clonus with, like, you know, Ulster finals and coming home with cups, or, you know, leaving cups behind you. So it'll be nice to go into it and hopefully maybe come home this time with a cup and not without one this time.
Donegal captain Roisin Rodgers, and once again, throw-in at St Chirna's Park is at 3 o'clock on Saturday, and you can tune in for full live match commentary here on Highland with Dermot Doherty and Maureen O'Donnell. That is just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show and want to have a listen back to it, you'll be able to find the full episode over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com, and now, of course, over on the Radio Player app. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday from 7 o'clock. I'm Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much, as always, for listening in. Jimmy Stafford is up next, just after the 8 o'clock news. Have a great evening, enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I will be talking to you all again very soon.